Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
You find 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, the Lord's going to give us in our church. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's coming. But I do know, I just sense in my spirit that, you know, God's getting ready to do something big for us as a church. I'm talking about us. I'm not talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about us as a church. You say, well, what's that? Well, I don't know. I just talking to Pastor Gary about it. I don't know. I just know, you know how, I don't know if I actually, I wrote about this. I may have talked about a little bit how God is a God of suddenlies. But I also said God's a God of gradualies. Gradually is not a word, okay? But, you know, what I'm saying suddenly, I've preached a few times on God of suddenlies. But he's actually more a God of gradualies because, but when he does it, it happens suddenly. You know, it's like you don't know it's coming sometimes. I mean, you may have a sense it's coming, but then all of a sudden, bam, it hits. And we're getting ready to have one of those. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I was sitting in like 1968, I was sitting at the dining room table doing my homework, and all of a sudden, man, everything began to shake, you know. And Dad got us all out of the house. It was just like out of the blue, you know, we had an earthquake. And that's the way this is going to happen. It's going to hit us. What is it, Pastor? I don't know, but thank God I'm here to see it. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, we've been talking about the joy of salvation. Amen. Amen. And how, you know, we ought to still have our joy. Praise God. You know, if nothing else goes right in our life, which it will, and it has, we've been saved. And so, we talked about how we should, the joy of our salvation. This past Wednesday night, we talked about joy, how joy affects our harvest in life, what we have in life. And so I'm going to bring this kind of mini-series to a close this morning, and I want to talk about, we're titling it, The Joy of Salvation 1, 2, 3, but I'm going to talk about helping your joy, doing things to help your joy. Now, let's find 2 Corinthians chapter 2, excuse me, chapter 1, verse 24, and I'm reading now the old King James. It says, "For not that we have dominion over your faith, but our helpers," some translations say co-workers, but I'm like the word helpers this morning because that's what I'm preaching on, "but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand." I want to preach on this phrase out of the King James, "but are helpers of your joy." Your joy has to have some help. So if you're a note taker, I'm going to talk about five words this morning, real quickly here. I'm going to talk about making. I'm going to talk about spending. I'm going to talk about believing. I'm going to talk about putting. And then I'm going to talk about loving. All right? Making, spending, believing, putting, and loving. Now, here's what we need to know. Joy is a covenant blessing. You said, "Well, how do you say it?" Well, just even in the Old Covenant, the Bible says when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, He brought them forth with silver and gold, and they said He brought them forth with joy and gladness. Woo, glory to God! See, they partook of that lamb, you know, that was a type, but we partaken of the real lamb, the Lamb of God, and we ought to have joy in our life. The Bible tells us in Galatians that it's a fruit of the Spirit. Paul said it's part of the kingdom of God in Romans chapter 14. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Jesus said he has given us His joy. Hallelujah. Well, how much joy do you think Jesus had? He had full joy. He had full joy. Hallelujah. And so what we're going to talk about is things today to help your joy. Now, let's go, and I don't know if we'll look at all these scriptures, but let's go to this one. Let's go to John chapter 16, and we'll just see if we can look at them all. I don't know, but we're going to talk about five things that will help your joy. Come on, are you ready?
Yes.
Here's the first one, in John 16, verse 33. Go there. In John 16, 33, Jesus said, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation." So let's just stop there just for a minute. So I want you to notice this phrase, "in me." Everybody say, "in me."
In me.
In me, peace. In the world, tribulation. So he told us there's two things. There's peace, there's tribulation. Then he went on to say, but be of good cheer. Hallelujah. Have joy, have courage. I have overcome the world. And what's he saying to us? He said, well, in me, there's peace. In the world, there's tribulation. Well, I mean, we still live in the world. So there's still tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, have some joy. I've overcome the world. In other words, here's the first one. Making life about Jesus will cause you to have joy. See, if you make it about what's going on in your life, what's happening to you, then you're not going to have the joy that you should have. Amen. You have to make it about Jesus. In other words, he let us know, in me there's peace. In the world there's tribulation. But you can shout, because I've overcome the world. In other words, I, you can trust me to work out all the tribulation stuff in your life. Glory to God. Now, you know, I've told you this before. See, Peter said, talking in 1 Peter, he said, I'm trying to get this out, but he talked about 1 Peter, he said that for a season you're in heaviness because of many trials, or various trials are hitting you. And I told you this, that word season means just a little time. And literally, I love this. The Greek actually says this, one of the Greek meanings of it, according to Strong's, one of the meanings of where Peter said you're going through a season of trials, it's the word puny. Puny. Does anybody know what puny means? It means small. Just a small time. Amen. And so I experience trials like everybody else does. But now here's the thing. I endeavor to live by the Word of God so I don't create my own trials. Now, I kind of, you know, trouble and trials are kind of little, maybe two different things. Trouble is what you cause. Trials is what comes because of your faith. See, Peter said the trying of your faith, the testing of your faith. In other words, your faith. The devil knows if he doesn't try to stop your faith's going to give you victory. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. This is a victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. So he knows if he doesn't stop your faith, victory is yours. He doesn't want you to have victory. See, he doesn't want you to get born again. But if you get born again, he certainly doesn't want you to walk in what God's provided for you. He doesn't want a testimony in the earth of how good God is and how victorious everybody could be. Now, I don't say this in vain. I hope you understand. I'm not saying this in vanity. Not at all, because all of us got a long ways to grow. Okay? All of us. But what if every church in America preached the message that we preach here? And we got a ways to grow ourselves. Okay? But I'm just trying to let you see something. See, if every church preached victory in Jesus Christ, what would the body of Christ look like in America? Come on now. Come on. What would sinners think about the church? Come on. See, you have to realize that most don't, but some do. Thank God for people that do. Amen? There's people in our city that do. There's other churches that do. Thank God for that. But we need to have a strong word of faith, a strong word of true faith, amen, and Bible victory through Jesus Christ. Amen? So we have to make life, if you make life about Him and not about the world, you'll have joy and peace. If you make it about what's going on out in the world, you're not going to have any joy. You're not going to have any peace. If you watch the news all the time, like one gentleman said, I loved his quote. I don't know if I got it exact, but he said, if you spend more time watching the news than you do in your Bible, your pain's self-inflicted. Because you're not going to get any good news, amen, from that source. But here, this is all you're going to get is good news. Hallelujah. So, number one, we have to make life about Jesus. Paul said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, we're all going to have tribulation, but we have to trust. We have to look to Jesus, because he said, in me, you're going to have peace. So we have to trust him to work out all the tribulation stuff in our life. He's going to work it out. I'm not going to worry about it. Well, it got quiet on that. I mean, we're not supposed to worry, right? You know, I've told you this before, but a lady told me one time, walking into church, a lady told me. She was talking about what she was worrying about. I told her what the Bible said about worry. This is a conversation walking into the building, okay? And this lady is telling me what she's worrying about. I'm a good one to tell that to because I've got a word for you, all right? The Bible talks about what to do with your worry, your cares, and I'm telling her that. And she said something to me. She was older. You don't rebuke older people. So don't ever rebuke me. Definitely don't ever even think about rebuking Brother Kenny. Don't even think about it. Don't even go there. But anyway, so she was an older lady, and, you know, she said this to me. She said, anybody that doesn't worry about something is crazy. Bible and verse, sister. I didn't say that to her. I said, no, people that worry are the ones that go crazy. How many know our Bible tells us not to worry? It says casting the whole of our care over on Him. So number one, we have to make life about Jesus and not about what's going on in our life. Your life's not to be like all my children. What are you saying, Raj? How do you know what that show is? It's been on long enough, everybody's seen it. Remember, I don't even know if it's still on in a General Hospital. Oh, that was on when I was a kid. Always one trial, always one problem. I would watch Bonanza. Anybody watch Bonanza? And Phyllis would always come through, and she'd make some snide remark. While I'm watching Bonanza, well, who's in trouble today? Is it Ben? Is it Little Joe? Is it Hoss? Is it Adam? Who's in trouble today? Some Christians, that's the way their life is. It's like a soap opera. And I tell you, and they think, now listen, they think they have more trouble than anybody else. But the problem is they've made life about their trouble and not about Jesus. When you make life about Jesus, He said you'll have peace. And He said you can be a good cheer. I've overcome it. In other words, I will work. If you make it about me, I will work it out for you. I'll get you through this. Amen. All right, so that's number one. And I know that may not sound deep, but, you know, listen, a little adjustment's all you normally need. You know, if you're flying somewhere and that pilot's making major adjustments, he's major off. But normally it's just a little adjustment. You know, when you go home, you just make little adjustments all the time, right? You're just making little adjustments. You're not making major adjustments, you know? You're making little adjustments. And that's the way it is. Sometimes it's just little adjustments is all we need to make to walk in the victory and the blessing that God has for us. It's not a major thing. It's just a minor thing. Amen. So number one, we need to make life about Jesus. Number two, remember I said making, spending. Number two is spending time with God daily. Amen. Causes your joy to go up. Look at 1 John chapter 1. If we can look at all these scriptures, I'm going to. If we don't have the time, then we won't. But let's go here to 1 John chapter 1. So spending time with God daily. Spending time with God daily. In 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3, have you found that? Amen. Verse 3 says, that which we've seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship's with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. How many know you're not going to have full joy if you don't take time to maintain fellowship with the Lord? Amen. For your mental health, you need to spend time with the Lord. Amen. I'm not against anything that's helping people, but most people that are going to, you know, I've got mental health problems and I go see this doctor and that doctor. Why don't you go see the doctor? Dr. Jesus. Because when you do that, there's something, you know, the psalmist said it, the psalmist was prophesying about Jesus. And he said this, in thy presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand is pleasures evermore. We need His presence to go with us. See, God, that's one of the things Moses said to God. He said, I don't want to go if your presence isn't going to go with me. So God's presence can be with you every day. You can take His, but you got to get in His presence, amen, and get His presence on your life. Amen? Now listen, you know, it isn't legalistic, but every day you should be spending some time with the Lord. If you don't, your joy is not going to be full. Yeah, I don't know about you if you're like me. I mean, I've got to have a... Oh, I can get, you know, where I'm not walking in the Spirit like I should. Amen. Amen. You know, you got to... The more time I spend with God, the more time I manifest His character, His fruit. The less time I spend, the less I manifest His character and His fruit. Because He's the source. I'm just a branch. You're a branch. He's the vine. Amen? And if we don't stay connected to the vine, we don't receive the source. You know, when you cut the... I was trimming some trees, you know, at our house, you know, because we like trees. You know, we don't have a big lot, but I got 14 trees on the property. Some of them are evergreen. They're little ones right now. I just planted them. But I like trees, and so... Yeah, but I like the branches to be up high. I don't like low branches. I like them up high. So I'm out there this summer. I'm going to get all these branches up. I'd already done some of them. I'm going to do the other trees. I'm trimming the branches up, and I got them up there. You know, and then the one in the front, you know, I took it off. I looked back and I thought, well, that looks pretty good. But I wanted up higher than that, and I thought maybe I shouldn't take the next few branches off. I took them off, and it doesn't look all that good. It's really thin now. And I thought, man, if I could only tape those back on there. How many of you can't do that? You separated it from the, amen, the vine, right? See, and there's nothing to do with it. I just, you know, told Phyllis, well, it'll fill back out, which it will, but it may take a little while, but it'll fill back out, but it looks pretty thin now. But I just don't like low branches. I like to be able to walk underneath of them, you know. And so that's the way our lives is. When we separate ourselves from the vine, we begin to wither. Our spiritual lives begin to wither, and that gets over in our natural life also. It begins to affect things in the natural. You know, we don't walk in love like we should. We don't walk in the blessing like we should. We don't walk in the fruit of the Spirit like we should. Amen. Yeah. And how many know we all need some help in those areas, right? We need to be connected to the vine. So one of the things that John said here, he says, this fellowship, he said, we want you to have fellowship with us, but our fellowship is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this we wrote to you so that your joy might be full. In other words, this fellowship with the Lord causes your joy to be full. Amen. Amen. So that's the spending. Now, the third part is believing. The third thing is believing. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. I know we're looking at some scripture this morning, but I intended on looking at these verses if we could. Romans 15. Romans the 15th chapter. And I want to talk about believing God. So making life about Jesus, spending time with God daily. Number three, believing God. Believing God. Romans 15 and verse 13, the Scripture says, now the God of hope, aren't you glad He's a God of hope? He's not a God down in the dumps. Amen. Did you ever think about that? God's a God of hope. You ever looked at His army and thought, what's causing you to have so much hope? He just got hope. You know what? He knows the Holy Ghost is going to help us. Do you ever think about this? That when Jesus left, what He left the church in, the hands that He left the church in? Now we think about, and we honor these apostles of the Lamb, and rightly so, but they weren't always the sharpest people on the planet. They had their issues, right? I mean, Peter and John and so forth, there was strife there. That you know, one of them said to the Lord, you know, who's going to be able to sit at your right hand? We want to be in charge in your coming kingdom. And Peter, his head disciple, Jesus is a teacher on walking in love, and his head disciple cuts a guy's ear off. Things, you know what I'm saying? Peter denies the Lord, right? And so, and then Jesus says, I'm leaving. That could make you nervous. But Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comforter. Yeah. Hallelujah. In other words, Jesus didn't trust the future of the church to us. No offense. Hallelujah. What year would the church have ended in? We've been gone a long time ago. He left the church in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit uses people, right? But one thing I know about the Holy Spirit, if He can't use me, He'll find somebody else. But He'll get the job done. Hallelujah. It's just up to us if we want to be part of it. I don't know about you, but I want to be part of what God is doing in the earth. So, Romans says He's a God of hope. May He fill you with all joy and peace. Notice this, everybody say this, in believing. How does joy and peace come? It comes when you believe. That you may, see, when you're believing, you may abound in hope like God's a God of hope. God must be believing. And if you believe like God believes, you're going to abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So what am I saying? Well, every day we have opportunities to choose to believe God. We can either believe God's going to work it out, or we can not believe God's going to work it out. We have choices every day. And when you choose to believe, it produces something called joy in your life. There's something about faith causes joy. So we have to make a choice every day. Am I going to believe God, or am I just going to try to work things out myself? Hey, have you ever tried to solve a problem that there's no solving it? I have. You just rack your brain and you'll think, well, how can I fix this? How many of you got to come to the point where you realize it's beyond you and you're going to have to trust God? Amen. Sometimes we try to fix things that only God can fix. Only God can fix certain things. Amen. You know, if your car breaks down, maybe you can fix it. But when your life's breaking down, it takes God. Amen. So we have to choose to believe God. Now, let's go to Isaiah, the Old Testament. Let me give you the fourth one. Come on, are you getting something today? A little different today, but I think if we grab a hold of these things, we're going to have more joy in our life. We're going to help our joy along. I don't know about you, but I want the fullness of joy. Hallelujah. I want fullness of joy. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 61. I want to give you number four. We talked about making. We talked about spending. We talked about believing, choosing. You got to choose to believe God. When you do that, it causes joy. I want to talk to you about this next one in Isaiah 61, verse 3. The Bible says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. So number three, I want to take out this verse. It's number three is putting on the garment of praise every day. Thank you for your excitement. Putting on the garment of praise every day. Every day you put some kind of garment on before you go out. You decide, what am I going to wear today? You know, it depends on what I'm going to do, you know. Some people, they don't put much thought into it. Oh, every now and then I have to go to Walmart. I'm like, where are people's brains? I didn't expect you to wear a suit and tie. I didn't expect you to wear a dress. I didn't expect you to wear a tuxedo to go to Walmart. But I did expect you to get out of your jammies and your house shoes, you lazy outfit. I don't care. It's up to you. But it's just like, you know, we ought to have some dignity about ourselves, especially as Christians, as believers. So, sometimes people see me and they see me at church and they don't, and then they see me, you know, out doing something else in a pair of blue jeans. I've never seen pastor in blue jeans. I think some people think every pair of pajamas I got's got a tie clip to it or something. No. Amen. But I tell you what, I do decide what garment I'm going to put on. It depends on what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm starting to put on a little heavier garments. It's getting a little cooler out. You know what I'm saying? I go out in the summertime if I'm going to go for a run, which I haven't done much lately, but if I'm going to go for a run, I put on different garments. I don't go out there, you know, with blue jeans on and a sweatshirt. If I'm going to church, I put on a different garment. If I'm going to Walmart, I put on a different garment. If I'm going out to eat, I might put on a different garment. I decide what garment I'm going to put on depending on what I'm going to do. Every day I've got some kind of garment on. Around the house, you know, I just may have my sweats on and a T-shirt. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, you know what I mean? I remember because Phyllis and I, we like to be comfy around home. So I'll wear sweatpants. That ain't any of your business, but I'm just talking, all right? I'm preaching, all right? In the summertime, I have old sweats I just cut the legs off and make shorts out of. That's what I hang out in. Because what? I found out it's comfy. She actually is the one that taught me this. I just hung around the house in blue jeans. And she taught. She actually got her dad years ago a pair of sweats for Christmas because, you know, he was retired and maybe wear them and hang around the house instead of wearing blue jeans around the house. He got them unwrapped and said, "What do you think I'm going to do, go for a jog?" But he tried them out, and that's all he would wear around the house, you know. But that's around the house, right? I don't come to church in them. Occasionally, I've snuck out when the post office is closed to go get mail in them and hoping nobody's looking. But my point is every day we can choose to put on the garment of praise. Does that mean we're praising God 24 hours a day? No, but it just means it's on us. It's ready. And it's liable to come out at any time.
Amen. Glory.
Amen. Amen. One of the things I appreciated about the church I got born again in is they were ready to praise God. All you had to do is just, you know, I hope this isn't on. All you had to do is just, somebody just one time hit one of these keys and they were ready to go. They were ready to go. Why? Well, because they had the garment of praise on. Amen. Amen. See, you can wake up every morning and decide I'm going to be grumpy, I'm going to be down, I'm going to be depressed, I'm going to be moody. Or you can wake up and say I'm going to put on the garment of praise. I'm in the kingdom of God and I'm going to dress right. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm going to put on the right garment and I'm going to have the garment of praise on. What does that mean? It means you have your heart bent towards God every day to praise Him. Amen. Hallelujah. See, this isn't original with me. Brother Eddie preached this years and years ago, but it so marked me when he preached on this that I've preached it. And talked about it, but he was preaching out of the Psalms. In Psalm 65, it says, "Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. Praise waits for you, O God, in Zion." And he taught this. I looked it up later and saw the same thing myself. He said that word waits means it's silent. Means it's crouched down. And what that word is portraying to us, it's like a lion or a lioness slowly crouching down, slowly creeping up, ready to pounce on the praise. We used to have a cat like that. She'd see a bird in the backyard. She'd get down real low, crawl real slow. And by the time she ever got there, the bird was gone. She'd usually jump when it took off, try to grab it near. Well, what what the psalmist is saying is he's saying God's people ought to be like that. We are crouched down, and at that moment's notice, once we get an opportunity, we spring into praise. We jump on it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sometimes I don't like to go to Walmart. Every now and then I have to go. I like to go to the grocery store. But I don't like to go to Walmart. But every now and then I'll have to go to Walmart. Phyllis and I kind of got an agreement together. She does Walmart, I do grocery. She doesn't like to do grocery, I do. So, but every now and then I'll be pulling into Walmart, you know, and there's a parking space right up front. You know what? It's an opportunity for me to spring into praise. I do. I thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, man, I might have had to walk another 35 or 40 feet if I hadn't got this parking spot.
Amen.
It's better than complaining because you had to walk 35 or 40 feet. Amen. Oh, yeah. I was walking in Sears one day. When we had a Sears store. You know why Sears went out of business, don't you? Brother Copeland said because they'd give credit to a duck. You didn't have to have any kind of qualifications. They just gave by credit.
Yeah.
No, I'm teasing. But anyway, I was walking into Sears one day and I opened the door, and there on the threshold was a $20 bill. It was an opportunity. Yeah. Praise God. What'd you do with it, Pastor? I put it in my pocket. I looked around first to see if anybody was close by that might have just dropped it. But I'm not stupid enough to ask somebody walking by that you lose $20. They're going to say yes. Actually, if you found more, I lost more than that. I got no sense to know that. And I'm certainly not taking it to the store employee.
No.
The blessing of the Lord, it maketh me rich. How many are following what I'm talking about? See, just every day in life, when you're going about, you're just looking for opportunities to thank God or praise God. Something just spring forth and praise God. You got the why? Because you got the right garment on. You got the right garment on. You know, you're playing football. How many of you got to put the right garment on? We had a guy, he was so good. He wore the wrong garment, but most time it doesn't work for you. But he was so fast, he was so good. One of my friends in school. And he had set the record for our school, which probably wasn't a big deal. Our school wasn't very big, you know. I'm talking about Petersburg. I'm talking about Pike Central. We got bigger because we're all consolidated. But Petersburg, the high, he's just a little bit older than me. And he set the record for the 100-yard dash. So he was a fast guy, you know, and all. And we'd play football, just street football. Us guys would get together and play football, and we'd all be out there, you know, in our tennies, you know, and so forth. He'd have a pair of engineer boots on. He didn't wear tennis shoes, and we'd hand him the ball, and you still couldn't catch him. He'd still just zigzag around you and be gone boots. But how many know, for the most part, you got to put the right garment on if you're going to play football. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Amen? I mean, you wouldn't expect to go watch an NBA game and watch the guys come out there with full football regalia on. You got to put the right thing on. As believers, we've got to have the right garment on. It's got to be the garment of praise. Amen? Ready to spring forth. Amen. Anytime, at any moment, we're ready to praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I've done it in front of sinners. I wasn't meaning to. But it just comes out. You know, I mean, just with somebody maybe in a business. And I'm like, well, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I'm thinking, wait a minute. These people don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, praise God. Now, let's go to the last one. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. So, making life about Jesus. 2, spending time with God daily. 3, believing God. Believing God, just choosing to believe God. 4, putting on the garment of praise. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. I'll give you the last one that we have for today. Hebrews chapter 1. Thank God for joy.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9 is talking about Jesus. It says, thou hast loved righteousness, and hated iniquity or lawlessness. So thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above your fellows or above all your companions. How many know that it, according to this scripture right here, Jesus had more gladness than anybody.
Right.
Yeah. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
See, now that's just opposite of what religion teaches. Have you ever heard, oh, he was a man of sorrows. Well, when you read that, he was a man of sorrows. The sorrows that he was a man of, they were ours when he took them at Calvary. That's what that scripture is talking about. Isaiah, they're taking it out of Isaiah chapter 53. And that Isaiah 53 chapter is talking about Jesus bearing our sorrows, or literally our pain. It's not talking about he was a man of sorrows. How do I know he wasn't a man of sorrows? I'll tell you why. Because children wanted to be around him.
Right. Amen.
Children don't want to be around gripey guts. They have nothing to do with you. Amen. So children are a pretty good judge of character. Amen. They're a pretty good judge of whether... They don't want to hang around gripey people, so they hang around joy-filled people. So, Jesus, I've seen these movies. I wish that people had really studied the Bible before they make a movie. I watched this movie about Jesus one time. It's 4 hours before I was saved. And I watched about Jesus, the life of Jesus. And I thought, you know, he looks like he's on LSD to me. I know that sounds sacrilegious, but that's just what I thought. I mean, he looks like he's spaced out. He's just the kingdom of God. I'm thinking, man, he's tripping. I learned as I studied the Bible, that's not him at all. That's not him at all. He had more joy than anybody. But why did he have joy? Well, here's the final thing we're going to talk about this morning. If we're going to have joy, here's the final thing. Loving what God loves and hating what God hates. Jesus loved what God loved. He hated what God hated. He loved righteousness. He hated iniquity or lawlessness. Now, why am I saying this? Because the church needs to hear it right now in America, maybe all over the world. But we need to understand, we don't change with the times. We hate what God hates. God doesn't hate people, but he hates certain things. Listen, I don't have an issue, people can do what they, let me say it this way, people can do what they want to do, but I'm not going to put my approval on it. It's never going to happen. You understand that? See, right now the church is being pressured to approve of things the Bible doesn't approve of. It's just never going to happen. It's just not going to happen. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to bow. Never going to happen. Now, I may love the people, but that doesn't mean I approve of what you do. Amen. And so we have to come to this place where we love what God loves and we hate what God hates. Amen. Once again, we don't hate the people, but we hate what he hates. Let me tell you something about sin. Sin, the Bible says in Hebrews, sin, Moses, he forsook Egypt, and he forsook the pleasures of sin for a season. And what does that mean? Well, let me clear that up. The Bible says sin has pleasure for a season. But here's what that means. It means that the only thing that sin pleases at all is the flesh. If you're a child of God and you sin, you're not pleasing your spirit man. Maybe the flesh has pleasure in sin for a season, but here's the problem with it. It's just a season. See, when you choose to obey God, there's everlasting joy. And the fruit of that is righteousness and glory. The fruit of sin is death. Amen. See, sometimes we get so sanctified, it's like we don't want anybody to know that we have any kind of weaknesses in our life at all. Quiet. But everybody has certain times of weaknesses that they have to deal with. And if you don't, your weakness that you have, if you tell me this morning, I don't have any weaknesses to deal with in my flesh, I'm going to tell you what your weakness is. It's called pride or a liar. You can laugh. Hallelujah. That, I didn't mean that as an insult, but that's just not true. Everybody has to deal with their flesh, right? It doesn't mean that it's a big, bad, vulgar, necessarily bad thing, but your flesh has weaknesses and you have to deal with it. That's why Paul said, I keep my body under. Right? That's the Apostle Paul, right? Well, if he had to keep his body under and he's writing 2/3 of the New Testament, I'd say I probably still have to keep mine under. But here's the key to having, one of the keys to having joy in life, loving what God loves and hating what He hates. If He says something is wrong, I'm to hate it.
Amen.
Amen. If He says something is right, I'm to love that. So let me go over these again. Come on, did you get anything this morning?
Amen.
All right, a few of you did. No? All right, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you'll be glad to know this, the series on joy is over, so now, you know, you can have some joy. See, finally you had some joy. I said, the series is over. Oh, glory to God, joy hit me. Hallelujah. That was the most joy we've had out of this whole series right there when I told you I was ending it. Joy. I just want to be grumpy. Leave me alone, Pastor. Having no joy is for your own benefit. Amen. Number one, got to make life about Jesus. Number two, you got to spend time with God daily. Number three, you got to believe God. Number four, you got to put on the garment of praise every day. Number five, you got to love what God loves and hate what God hates. You do those things, that's going to help your joy in life. Amen. Praise God. God is good.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.